Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the Word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world. Most Christians have New Age beliefs, and many spiritual people cite Scripture in support of their beliefs. The author of The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, relied on Scripture to support his philosophy. The prosperity gospel of preachers like Joel Osteen is the Christian form of positive thinking. While most Americans hold a combination of New Age and Christian beliefs, there are lines between progressive Christianity and New Age beliefs and practices. On this show, New Age life coach Michael Gross, New Age podcaster Lynn Mystic Healer, and progressive Christian mystic and prophet Rich Procida talk about individual and social forms of salvation from New Age and progressive Christian perspectives. I hope you enjoy this discussion about two of America's largest faiths.
This is Lynn Mystic Healer, and I'm just so honored and privileged to have two wonderful guests today. Dr. Michael Gross. Okay, he's a spiritual coach, a life coach, author, in-demand speaker, and a multidimensional healer. Dr. Michael Gross is a professional keynote speaker, transformational coach, entrepreneur, author of Spiritual Primer, Applying the 12 Spiritual Laws to Reawaken Your Soul in the Soul of America. Sorry, he didn't say that part. Sorry. Okay, the Spiritual Primer, Applying the 12 Spiritual Laws to Reawaken Your Soul, Reconnecting to God to Experience Your True Sources, Love, Joy, and Happiness, which it's also available on Amazon. Okay, for over 30 years, Dr. Michael Gross has been a spiritual teacher and a coach, life coach, multidimensional healer. He's a multidimensional healer, Dr. Michael Gross. He works with your soul, oversoul, light body, energetic body, cellular body, subconsciousness mind, life force, energy, emotional, and mental bodies. He also works with each individual soul level, retrieving the fragmented parts of your soul as well as part of your past life regressions. Okay, he's currently, Dr. Michael's workshop, Reconnecting to God, the True Source, Multidimensional Healing and Enlightenment, and and his website, drmichaelgross.com, his education background, Masters of Science in Human Services and Gerontology. Okay, it's so important. Thank you, Michael. And we've got Rich Procida. He is a constitutional lawyer, and he's a paranormal investigator. Bible Studies for Progressives. Please get to his programming. He's got lots of programs, too, out there, and he's working to really come into the interfaith, you know, movement to help all the real Christians come together and the spiritual groups, and in thus doing, combines, you know, the world religions with spirituality. And so, Michael, your work, can you help, you know, accentuate God, the true source, and your understanding of the Holy Spirit realm and the benevolent Star Brothers and Sisters, please.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. I think we have to look at a little bit of a background of how we mentally and humanly operate. And, you know, first of all, we have to realize our essence is angelic, so to speak, or spiritual. If we look at the Old Testament, and Moses was at the burning bush, and he said, "Who am I talking to? I am that I am." And if we look at the words, "I am that I am," says, "I exist." "Am" is another word for the name of God, the true source, as I call a true source. And there are over 360 names for God, or even greater. And if we realize that we're an aspect or part of God, the true source, that says that we have a very special place in the universe, and that all of us, everything that exists, is part of the God, the true source. And the Old Testament, it talks about we're made in the image of God. Well, we certainly know that God is not a man or a woman. At least I hope both of us, I think both of us know that. But God is a pure, unconditional, loving, and allowing, and non-judgmental. And if we bother to think about it, I was at a speaking engagement in Honolulu, and I had a young 12-year-old girl, and she said, "Well, I'm an empirical proof that, you know, we're part of God." And I said, "Wow, it's a great question." And I said to her, "What is our essence?" So I'm just going to gloss over. We're atoms, molecules, neutrinos, particles, subatomic structure, laminin, so on and so forth, protons, so on and on and on. And so part of us is in intelligence. So the term I use in my book is we are inner intelligence. And that inner intelligence is also energy. And if we bother to look, I said to her, take a look at a piece of wood. Piece of wood, we know they're atoms, molecules, protons, et cetera, running at a very high rate, figuratively speaking, drawn to each other, knocking their heads together, as I say, and creating a piece of wood. And scientists can prove that's what's happening. They're going at a very fast rate. But you see, there's an intelligence that attracts molecules to make wood, to make plastic, to make paper, to make rocks and so on, and even water, whatever it may be. So just the whole universe is inner intelligence. And if we bother to think for a moment, I'm all about making changes. And everybody has a mission and goal. Lynn, you have a very important mission and goal. Richard, you have a very important mission and goal. But I will just talk about mine and what I received in my meditations. And so my mission and goal is to, first of all, have everybody change their mass consciousness. Look what's going on in our world right now. There's anger, there's hate, there's judgments, there's bullying. I mean, there's killing, there's murder. It's on and on and on and on and on. And so part of my mission and goal is to help people reconnect with God, the true source. That's the first thing. And then the other one is that we are the solution. You and I and everybody on this planet is the solution to change the mass consciousness. So being the solution, and understanding that my job is to awaken people and change the mass consciousness to loving. You know, that old cliche about Jesus, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Boy, if we just did that, think what this world would be like. We would think twice before we've done anything. But one thing I wanted to bring out
about
is
thoughts creating reality, either limited fear-based ones from outside sourcing or old programs or past life lessons, or is it going to go to soul, to true source, how to let go and work with source, work with the divine, work with, well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit realm or other master teachers, you know, because, you know, I mean, why people think that Jesus was the only one for 33 years that came here to try to enlighten the planet, that's a separation in itself, too, that we have to overcome.
Well, that's true, and there are many people that have my mission and goal, you know, to change the mass consciousness. Did I interrupt you, Richard?
No, go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
Thank you. So what I wanted everybody to understand, and I want to read something that I meditated on that I think is really, really, really important. And let me share this with you. It'll take about a minute or two. What you think, you create. And what you create, you experience. Life is all about learning, growing, and experiencing. The aspects of learning, growing, and experiencing that we have in our life help create a roadmap in our lives to facilitate growth. Each experience, whether positive or negative, opens the door to create unlimited potential. Humans learn more from adversity than from positivity. And have you ever wondered why? Perhaps. We have become so sensitive in this day and age towards criticism that a person pays more attention to it. For criticism is given freely and without thought, like a figurative knee-jerk reaction, while positive accolades require thought and insight and are not often acknowledged by others. And why is this so? Could that be because they let their egos get in the way to not acknowledge the greatness and positivity in each one of us? And are you blindsided by your fears of illusion and inadequacy? And if this is true, what is it in each one of us that we're afraid to look at? At any given time, we're on the road to destruction or greatness. This depends upon what you view what is going on in your life. It's kind of like the proverbial concept, your gas tank is either half full or half empty. What you think, you create. And what you create, you experience. And what are you creating? And where do you stand on these thoughts?
Rich, go ahead and jump in on that one.
Wanted to add that most of what the Bible really says is God is among us, and specifically John says God came down and dwelt among us. But God is also within us, but also within us is the domination system, and that's expressed through what the Bible would describe as demonic possession, or that the environment that we live in affects us internally. And so... But the idea of Jesus being among us is really a communitarian idea, in that God is among all the people. The kingdom of God is here amongst us, in our midst, because not because necessarily it's Jesus there, but because we as a community can come together and live into the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace, love, spiritual connection, support, economic equality, liberation, freedom. This is a communitarian concept. It's because in the ancient world, they really didn't have a strong concept of the individual. The primary social role was the family, or they call it the pater family, familius. And it was not the family that we thought of as a family with a husband and a wife and children. It was really more of a cult and a structure. The father was the leader, and there were many slaves were part of the family, and the leader of the family had a very particular responsibility in the Roman world, which was to keep the hearth burning, because that represented the spirits of their ancestors. And everybody had a role in that, and responsibilities, and one's worth or one's identity was completely bound up in that role. So you were a member of a family, or a member of a caste, or a member of a tribe. So in scripture, we don't get this sort of individualistic idea that comes out that God is with us, and that we are the center and basic social role that we play as an individual, particularly in the United States and the West. Now, in the East, identity is still focused on caste or family or tribe or group. But in the West, we've taken this incredible leap into individualism, which is good in one sense because it leads to the recognition of civil and human rights. But on the other hand, it doesn't really describe what the Bible is talking about it when say God is among us. It's really about the nation of Israel and being bringing salvation to the world as an example of what it means to be ruled by God. So when we talk about raising the consciousness of everybody, and of course we have to do that, there's always going to be people who are not going to have their conscience raised. And maybe the people who do have their conscience raised are the rare few, but we can raise the consciousness collectively by making people aware of their responsibilities to others in the world. And it's not so much about inner peace and inner happiness as much as it is about collective peace, collective happiness, support and welcoming and equality and all those values that are important to democracy.
So I just wanted to jump in here, Michael, in Michael's book about the, you know, the 12 universal laws that, you know, there's, anyway, it's very, very important too, because we're all energy, okay? And it, we finally realized that as a human species, red, yellow, black, and white, that if anyone is, okay, we have the same basic needs, red, yellow, black, and white, worldwide. Okay, basic needs, you know, clean air, water, food, and a shelter, safety shelter, okay? And then we need to feel connected, so we need work, but we have the same emotions that have been cut off from source. We have been cut off from source. We're going AI, guns, drugs, all these weird, limited fear-based coping mechanisms that Marianne Williamson is there. Of Course in Miracle studies, I mean, we're cut off from source. That is, it's massive. And anyway, and that the real important thing that Michael knows from his work and maybe could elaborate on, and in the Bible, the Holy Spirit realm, and why it's so important to let go and work with, you know, your team of Holy Spirits, if you want to call them that, or spirit guides in Holy Spirit realm, because it's so critical that people understand and have that belief, or they won't ask for the help. And all their answers, every red, yellow, black, and white person, we have behavioral science, we've got the science, that anyone who's angry or upset, their answers are inside of them. So that's why, you know, if we aren't teaching and training and paying people for heart and soul, direct contact, helping people, you know, let go and work with their soul energies that are, I call them the intergalactic internet, and teach and train them how instead of AI. Could you elaborate on that, Michael?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things I believe that I call a true inner source guidance, you could call it true God, you know, guidance. You know, everybody is an aspect or part of God, the true source. Everybody is. And of course, I want you to think about our bodies as an antenna. And thinking about our bodies of an antenna is that we receive information, whether we're getting it mentally or we're meditating or we feel it energy-wise. I mean, just think about, like I was talking to Lynn, you go to a party, you're happy and everybody's depressed, you get depressed. You pick up their energy. Vice versa, you don't want to be at a party, you're tired, and everybody's up, and you go to the party and you're up. So our thoughts are things. And mm-hmm. if we understand thoughts are things, we've lost our original premise. First of all, we have to understand that God, the true source, is unconditional, loving, allowing, non-judgmental. And we need to understand that. And then, since we are an aspect, are made in the image of God, the Bible, the Old Testament says, that is our essence of unconditional love, allowingness, and non-judgmentalness. But I would like to explain what happens. So imagine for a minute you're a newborn child and you have a blank canvas. And so what do you learn? You learn from your parents, friends, relatives, some experiences. So you're a blank piece of canvas, and whatever they're telling you, you're painting on the canvas. It becomes your truth. But we all know it's truth at age 10. It's different from 20. It's different from 30. It's different from 40. So truth begins to expand. And we understand as it expands, so whatever prejudice or biases we had at 10 or 15 years old, it's different at 30, 40, or 50. So the first thing we got to realize is that we've been brainwashed as a child, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And by the age of 7, things are pretty much set in our belief system. So that begs the question, how do we change the belief system? Mm-hmm. Well, first we have to take a look, is it self-serving? Or is it have another reason to limit us? Now, one of the things I'd like to point out to everybody is in our thoughts and our thinking, there is a vortex of energy. And I, you know, this is Seattle, so we have Boeing here. And every business, I don't care what the size of it is, every organization, religious, non-religious, whatever it is, creates an energy and vortex on its own. And my wife, you know, she's passed away, but she worked for Boeing. And it's my company, and I want to get up there early and get things done. It's my company, my company. Everybody I met from Boeing talked the same way. Mm-hmm. And went, my gosh, there's an energy or a vortex. The same way with Microsoft. People were working at Microsoft who had master's degrees, and they would park cars because they got to work for Microsoft. And everybody at Microsoft would work 70 or 80 hours. I don't know if that's true. So if we understand this is vortex, what about our government? What about our legislators? Mm. It's sucking figuratively things, or sucking people, literally into them. And we've become robots. We're not thinking anymore.
Yep.
And that's one of the great things, because mankind is, humankind is rational. Right? We have the ability to think. But what happens is that we've lost our way. We've become robots. And we forgot our own individual thoughts and how we create our life. And we've given up our power to materiality, to fears and doubts, to bullying. That's something we have to understand, that we need to change. And if you go back to the major premise, God is unconditional, loving, allowing, non-judgmental, what happens if we become that way? And we do unto others as we have them do unto you, which I mentioned before. What do you think would happen in our lives? How do you think we would treat each other? There's great things that are happening that is positive, and then there's artificial intelligence, which is going to cost a lot of jobs. And we could end up like the Terminator or iRobot or whatever it
I'll
is.
Be hacked.
It's a real danger.
Michael,
and,
would
and
you talk right now? I'm sorry
that.
To jump in again. I'm just so excited about law of attraction in connection with the Bible for you, Rich. These aspects, law of attraction, the fourth or fifth of the universal laws. Law of One's the first one. We're all connected. You know, that's already proven with Nassim Hariam's, you know, the psychic or the physics of spirituality and our interconnected molecules, whatever. We're all energy, right? So, but the law of attraction at this ego mind programming and all the problems that create that, where if we raise up into our God selves or higher selves or AA, the, you know, a higher source, that you change the law of attraction, right? And then karma, I was hoping in the Bible you'd talk about that too, cause and effect, or what you give, you reap what you sow. Would you kind of elaborate on that, each of you, please? Thank you.
Well, I wanted to address just the energy vortex that you were speaking of. And there's a theologian called Walter Wink, and he came up with an idea of what we were talking about when we were talking about demons or spirits. And Walter Wink was a modernist. He didn't really believe in the supernatural, but I sort of apply it as a supernaturalist. And what it is a spirit, he describes sort of a spirit of the gestalt of an institution, its culture, and what that does to people and how it creates. Either it can create a culture that's angelic, positive, helping humanity, or it can create a culture or an institution that is demonic, that leads to war, torture, violence, inequality. So this collective sense of community is what really sort of drives us. So when, for instance, when I go to investigate, I've come to think that you find evil and demonic entities in places where evil has occurred. You find them in prisons or hospitals where there's been abuses. And these spirits are actually not, we have an idea that demons control us. And in some sense, they do, but they do it with our permission. We allow them to, because we are stronger than they are. We exist in the material world, whereas they're sort of not really there in the material world. They're not material in a sense, they're spirit. So they can influence us in both demonic and angelic ways. And so they infect our institutions. And in many ways, we are being manipulated and deceived by information sources. I'm doing a lot of work on impeachment, and the thing that has really frustrated me with the Democratic Party is they like to speak out of both sides of their mouths. They like to say Trump committed crimes, but on the other hand, they like to say we don't want to impeach. So it's a manipulation. In other words, they're not telling you we don't have the evidence to impeach, or they're chickening out of impeachment. And so and then I'm reading the Mueller report and how this information was coming in and how the whole nation has been manipulated and divided against itself. And sometimes religions can become that way. The church in some ways, and also our institutions can be both demonic and angelic, even at the same time in some ways. If we look at what Trump is doing at the border and then combine that with all the things that he said about people of other races and people of other colors and what he said about the immigrants coming in. And we can see a demonic structure coming into place with people put in cages, children dying, separated at the border. So we see how this negative energy, this feeling expression of fear, mostly fear, and bigotry can rise up through an institution and become, express itself in a demonic form. And a lot of the people who are mentally ill, for example, are mentally ill. Well, sure, it's a biological thing, and some people have a perfect life, and then they become mentally ill. But what really happens is something triggers it. Oftentimes there's a stressful, an assault, an attack, and that's why the Gerasene demoniac in the Bible is a representative of the demons of empire and how they afflict the people of the world. So in some sense, internally, we try and define peace and happiness and our connection to spirit and our connection to source, but we also have to do that collectively. So as far as the law of attraction goes, I remember one time I went hiking in this local park here in my area, and the sign said, there are mountain lions here. And I said, there are no mountain lions here. And I decided to manifest one. I said, I want to see a mountain lion. And sure enough, I ran into the mountain lion, the first and last time I've ever seen a mountain lion in that park. And then after that, I kind of didn't want to run into a mountain lion again. So manifestation does work, but I think sometimes people, if they do it for the wrong way, I think it's going to make them rich, or that it's going to violate the physical laws of the universe. Sometimes that's probably not going to happen, but you might be able to communicate and bring an animal out of the wilderness. There's a word for it, where things happen because you're on the right track. You know, opportunities come at the right time. Things happen for a reason, and it's all working together for the good. If you're in tune with source, if you're in tune with that angelic part of ourselves, because we have inside of us both good and evil. We have inside of us both the demonic and the angelic. And that's the way the universe was created. I get that from the story of the wheat and the tares, where the farmer plants his wheat and an enemy comes and sows weeds in with the wheat. And the landowner or the farmer who represents God says, let them grow together. So we're here together in a world of both good and evil. And that world of good and evil is both inside us and outside of us. And so there's a level of humility that we need to engage in when we face the world, because we're not perfect. So, but the law of attraction works, but I think people sometimes misuse it and misapply it.
So okay, Michael, what do you think?
Well, I believe everything you said is correct. But just getting back to the law of attraction, in my meditations, you know, the reason my meditations, it's a long story how I communicated with God, the true source, as I call it. One of the things is that I really truly believe in the true source, reiterated, true source is unconditionally loving, allowing, non-judgmental. Okay, so we're here to experience life and whatever our missions and goals are. Each one of you have missions and goals that are very powerful. And so we instituted the law of karma. And karma is really, really misunderstood. Some people think it is a reward or as a punishment. But really, it's just an experience to empower ourselves. Because as the true source is unconditional, loving, allowing, non-judgmental, we said, well, here we are, but we got to hold our feet to the fire to make sure we do the right thing. So let's have a way we can learn how we mess up, figuratively speaking. And that's where the law of karma came in. And we talk about the law of attraction, so what you think you create, which I just talked about. And that's so important because we are creating with our thoughts every moment of our life. And we have choices. And one of the things I'd like to share with you, when you have a negative thought, because we're human, we have negative thoughts, the best way to stop this thought from becoming a reality is very simple. You go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, cancel, 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 3 times. That disconnects the left brain with the right brain and goes to the amygdala. Well, since there's no such thing as a vacuum in the universe, you just can't cancel the thought without replacing it. So you replace it with a positive thought, and therefore it won't manifest in your life. But here we are bombarded, as you say, I'm using my Boston accent, bombarded with all kinds of negativity. And we're brainwashed. You know, whether it's politically, whether it's racial, whatever it is, we're brainwashed. And we forgot who we are, where we came from, and what our essence is. And as we pointed out, as all of you pointed out, we're an aspect or part of the God, the true source. So how do we change our consciousness and our thoughts? And we do it one person at a time. That when I talk about we change person one at a time. And I think about the Revolutionary War that made this country so great. It was just a handful of men and women who had an idea they wanted to have more freedom. And they talked to people. And, you know, we had the Tories who were against breaking away from England and the Patriots who wanted to break away. But it started with one, then it went to two, the domino, 3, 4, 6, 8, keeps doubling and doubling. And so I feel that as this program, the three of us, and those who we touch, that we talk about this, we're planting seeds. We're farmers. We're planting seeds, and they're going to either accept it or reject it, or they're going to stand back and say, well, I'm going to observe, because most people will observe. And then when they see these things, the seeds that you and I, the three of us, have planted, they'll begin to see the light. And one of the things the true source was telling me that when you were talking was that when you spread this wonderful story of how we need to change the mass consciousness, this wonderful energy, to ask the person, would you like to participate in it? And what would you like to do? That's it. We're not going to tell them what to do. Let them figure out what to do. Let them volunteer. And they're going to tell other people who think like they do. And then the mass consciousness begins to change the positivity. And, you know, the Christ consciousness, that's what's descending upon us. It's been with us since the days of JC, as I affectionately call him. But it's really, really beginning to grow. And I want to share one other quick story. So when I was in Maui, this young man, well, he's 60, he's from Peru, came up and hugged me, said, do you remember me? First time I met him. I said, yeah, I'm from a past life, but I wasn't really sure. He said, do you remember in the time of Christ, my father died, I was 4 years old, and you brought me up, and all of a sudden I had the vision of this happening. And he's working with Mother Earth energies. He is so tightly and close with Mother Energy, not close, but close to Mother Energy, that he's making a difference. So he's one of the people who is teaching how to work with Mother Earth. And they volunteer and they work with him. So I wanted to pass that on. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. So Barbara Ehrenreich wrote a book called Brightsided, How Positive Thinking is Undermining America. So in that book, she argued that, and I think some of her followers have miscategorized positive thinking as New Age. I think New Age is much broader than that. But the idea that somehow we can, all we really need is to raise our own personal individual consciousness. And yet what we're really talking about is what are the effects of that raised consciousness on the rest of the world? The only thing that we can really control is how we react to situations and events.
So, but at the same time, we have to recognize that everything doesn't just come from within. The environment has an impact. We're worried about climate change because of the impact it's going to have on humanity. And I think we're seeing that at the border right now. There's this, let's build a wall. Let's keep the mass of people who are going to be leaving their flooding countries and due to dislocation, climate change, war, poverty, crime. And our solution here in the United States is to build a wall to keep all of the masses out. So I think that once one becomes aware, once one becomes, has the raise in consciousness to a certain level, they realize that change comes through collective action. And that we have to recognize that the environment does affect us, that we can talk about how we could respond to situations, but if we're sick or be tortured, or they say that at a certain level, not having money is very stressful. So all these things have an effect on us. So it's not like we can sort of isolate ourselves and create such a new reality that we escape the actual material reality that we're in. You know, in other words, we can't think ourselves out of a situation where out of being in prison, we can't think ourselves out of being tortured, although we can go to a different place. And as a survivor of abuse, I know about going to a different place. But so when we become conscious, when we become aware, and I know people have a lot of personal problems that they're dealing with, you know, drug addiction, oftentimes the effect of abuse. Mm-hmm. So there is a realm for the psychological treatment and counseling and all those heart and soul based services that lift up people and individuals and communities and help them to heal from trauma, from victimhood. And then when we go out into the world, when we're conscious, we don't carry all as much of the baggage from our past with us. And that's a long process of going through therapy and stuff to dig up, to go through, you know, what happened to you and the way you're thinking set perhaps in childhood with the abuser's voice still in your head and all this recovery. But individual recovery, if it's to be successful, if it's to change the world, which is what we ultimately are here trying to talk about, inevitably leads to collective activities. And then hopefully we'll be mature enough as we grow to not be brainwashed, as you said. I mean, so much of politics and this division is brainwashing. I was recently talking to a Christian. He just called me out of the blue. He had my phone number somewhere. He had me listed as not a Christian. And he wants to, you know, so he called me and wanted to tell me about what the Bible really says. But when I actually pointed out that the Bible contains some things that we don't follow anymore, you know, Christians believe that the Bible is an inerrant word of God. But there's a lot of things we don't follow. You know, we don't make women cover their head in church. We don't make, or not allow them to speak. And those churches are very rare where they suppress women. We don't stone people to death for crimes like touching Mount Sinai or doing it for children for being unruly. So there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't follow anymore, and people rightly recognize that those things should not be followed anymore. But the problem is when they start applying other things like to gays and lesbians as if those should be followed now, when a person who understands scripture and is spiritually enlightened can recognize and who can discern the scripture can recognize that discrimination against gays, discrimination against women, those belong in the category of things that we no longer do. The Bible is not perfect. It's not inerrant. It's been written by men, spiritual men, but still imperfect. So we need to read it as that spiritual text that it is,
without worshiping it and putting it on a pedestal, because and listen to what other people are saying about it, and not just, because when I pointed that out to him, he couldn't respond to that. He had to go to another subject because he has to believe the Bible's perfect and inerrant. So here's a belief that you're imposing on a book that isn't true, and yet you insist on it being true. And so we need to now make it true by interpreting it so that it is true to you when it's actually false. And this is the type of brainwashing, and the conservatives, the liberals, the leftists are haters, and the leftists think the conservatives are haters. And in some sense, we are. And then we're being infiltrated and given false information. So, yes, we are brainwashed in many ways, and just our very language and our culture is kind of a form of brainwashing. It really limits how we see things. And when we travel around the world, we sort of get culture shock because they see things differently than we do, and languages portray things differently. So we're limited in our ability to understand all points of views.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.